Iran's parliament speaker calls for a firm response to the assassination of prominent nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. The top British diplomat is calling for a de-escalation of tensions following the killing of the Iranian nuclear scientist, but is stopped short of condemning the terror attack. Saudi Arabia conducts fresh air raids on several locations across Yemen, including the international airport and the capital, Sana'a. Hello and a warm welcome to World News from our studios in Tehran with me, Behrouz Najafi. Iranian lawmakers have approved double urgency of a motion in response to the sanctions imposed on the country. The motion passed through Parliament with 232 votes. The generalities of the plan had already been ratified at the Parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Committee. It instructs the government to enrich uranium at 20% purity level, increase the stockpiles of low-enriched uranium, and make use of the third generation of IR-6 and IR-2M centrifuges. Now, this follows the assassination of eminent Iranian nuclear and defense scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Meantime, Iran's parliament speaker, Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf, has called for a firm response to the terrorist act to take vengeance upon perpetrators.
The criminal enemy will not regret its action unless faced with strong reaction, which will both serve as a deterrent against the enemy's possible future mistakes and take revenge on them for this recent crime.
Ghalibaf says the relevant bodies should not only take revenge, they should also turn the tragic event into an opportunity to get stronger on different economic, security, defense, and nuclear fronts. He also called for avoiding any signal that would suggest weakness against or trust in the U.S. political system. International condemnations keep pouring in over the assassination of the Iranian scientist. The latest reaction came from U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders, who slammed the targeted killing as reckless, provocative, and illegal. The Democratic politician warned the deadly attack was clearly intended to undermine U.S.-Iran diplomacy. Spokesman for the UN Secretary General also condemned what it called extrajudicial killing. The UN Special Rapporteur on Extrajudicial Executions said that Fakhrizadeh's assassination is a violation of international human rights law. The European Union also blasted as a criminal act the assassination and said that it ran counter to the principle of respect for human rights. Also, the Turkish Foreign Ministry called for the perpetrators to be held accountable for the heinous crime. Well, the assassination of the Iranian nuclear scientist has drawn condemnation from inside Iran, people from all walks of life. In Tehran, a rally was held to slam the terrorist attack, and Yusuf Chalali was there.
2:30 p.m. local time on Friday, in a countryside area east of Tehran, a truck loaded with explosives blew up to intercept car carrying top Iranian nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Eyewitnesses say five or six gunmen then rushed from a nearby vehicle and opened fire on his car. Fakhrizadeh was seriously injured and taken to hospital, but medics were unable to save his life. The incident immediately sent its shockwaves across Iran and beyond, with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif calling the attack an act of terror and linking it to Israel. Inside Iran, the assassination comes as a shock. Less than 24 hours after the incident, people from all walks of life gathered outside the Iranian parliament to condemn the assassination, which they view as grave as the U.S.'s assassination of top IRGC commander Qasem Soleimani in January.
What happened to our nuclear scientist was carried out by the same terrorists who killed Qasem Soleimani. Like Mr. Soleimani, Fakhrizadeh offered many services to our nation.
If we back down on this terrorist act, the U.S. and Israel will become more insolent towards us. We have gathered here to urge the government and lawmakers to take a tough stance towards the perpetrators to avoid further such incidents.
Fakhrizadeh served as the head of the Research and Innovation Organization of the Defense Ministry. Iranian officials say he had a long history in defense innovations and had made key efforts to promote Iran's nuclear energy program.
Remember that name, Fakhrizadeh.
This had made him the number one target of Israel's intelligence services, which have a track record of targeted killings of Iranian nuclear scientists nearly a decade ago.
Israel is not willing to see Iran's advancement in science and technology. It killed four other Iranian nuclear scientists, and now it assassinated Mr. Fakhrizadeh. But Israel should know that it cannot stop Iran's peaceful nuclear program, because those martyrs have trained numerous young scientists who will take the lead in this field.
Observers say the assassination of the Iranian scientist comes as part of Israel's attempts to disrupt Iran's nuclear energy program, which Tel Aviv accuses of having military dimensions. Iran has time and again dismissed such allegations and signed the 2015 nuclear deal with the world powers as a sign of goodwill.
Fakhrizadeh now becomes the fifth Iranian nuclear scientist who was eliminated in a terror attack. While all indications attest to an Israeli involvement, Iranians here demand that the government take a harsh revenge. This, they say, would reduce the chances of more Iranian scientists becoming an easy target for terrorists. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
John White is an author and commentator. He says the assassination of the Iranian scientist is a heinous crime. The Western countries' silence indicates their double standard.
Well, Mr. Fakhrizadeh's murder marks a foul violation of any code of ethics worth adhering to in any civilization. And the way of civilization is diplomacy. The way of rogue nations is murder. And Israel undoubtedly is a rogue state. The timing could not be clearer. This is an attempt to box the incoming Biden administration in its attempts to resurrect the JCPOA, or the Iran nuclear deal, which the Trump administration sabotaged in 2015 at the behest of the Saudis and of Mr. Netanyahu. I think that the region now is going to experience its most tense period in many years, and I am sick and tired of witnessing these criminal actions of Israel and seeing nothing meaningful done in the West. Fine words butter no parsnips. It's all right, words of condemnation. Where are the sanctions? Where is the expulsion of ambassadors? Where are any of the measures that would be undertaken against Iran if the shoe had been on the other foot, i.e. if Iranian security services had prepared and carried out the murder of an Israeli scientist in Israel?
Now, at least 30 people have died in a car bomb attack in Afghanistan's eastern province of Ghazni. More than a dozen others also injured in that attack that happened on the outskirts of Ghazni's capital. The Interior Ministry says that an assailant detonated a vehicle full of explosives near an army base. Local officials saying that all victims are security personnel. No claim of responsibility yet. The attack is one of the bloodiest targeting Afghan forces recently. And that while the government and the Taliban militant group are engaged in talks for lasting peace. Saudi Arabia has carried out fresh air raids on Yemen, targeting several provinces, including the capital, Sana'a. Yemeni media is saying that the regime's warplanes hit several areas in Sada province as well as Sana'a airport. No reports of casualties and damage from those attacks. However, two civilians reportedly got killed and another one injured in the artillery shelling on the border district of Manabe. The attacks came just a day after Saudi jets bombarded Sada province for at least 8 times. Riyadh, along with some of its regional allies and backed by the U.S., launched a devastating war on Yemen in 2015. Tens of thousands of people, most of civilians, have been killed and millions displaced in the Saudi-led aerial and ground attacks. Now, in other news, the highest court of the U.S. state of Pennsylvania has dismissed another lawsuit aimed at overturning the November 3rd presidential election results in that state. The court unanimously rejected the suit filed by Republican supporters of President Trump. The lawsuit claimed Pennsylvania's decision to allow absentee voting on demand was illegal. The justices noted the suit was filed months after the expiration of a time limit allowing for challenges to the state's mail-in voting law. Meanwhile, Trump promised to challenge the Wisconsin vote count after a recount conducted there. Trump said that we have found many illegal votes. He's been contesting the result of the election that suggests his Democratic rival Joe Biden is the winner. Elsewhere in Europe and France, people have taken to the streets against a new law that would restrict sharing of images of police officers, and that only days after the country was shaken by footage that showed officers beating and racially abusing a black man. Our Paris correspondent has more.
A human tide, rarely seen, flooded in the streets of Paris and all over France in a freedom march against a new security law. The massive protest is held against President Macron's government that is pushing a new bill that restricts the ability to film police. Human rights associations and media are unanimous. This law would allow police brutality to go undiscovered and unpunished.
There's a huge popular opposition against this law. Even the Human Rights Commission of the United Nations and other international bodies criticize it. A social majority in this country refuses the implementation of this law. Since a long time, we alert the government on police brutality and violence against women. Violence against women during the lockdown is exploding, and the government remains inactive and guilty.
Two major events this week plead in favor of the protesters and of the importance of video footage to denounce police violence. First, French police dismantled a migrant camp in central Paris. The French government ordered an internal police investigation after police officers were filmed tossing migrants out of tents and intentionally tripping one while evacuating a protest camp.
It is important to film this kind of situations because it's part of freedom of expression. Filming with our phones is almost the only way of publishing this kind of violence against migrants, people from the suburb, against everybody.
And then a second video showed the violent arrest of a black music producer in Paris. Three police officers repeatedly punched and hit him during 20 minutes. The man told that the officers made racist insults.
Solely thanks to the images showing the beating by a kind of private militia attacking a music producer, the truth has come out. Without this video footage from a surveillance camera, the man would be in prison accused for using violence against the police. That shows the importance of having a counter power in this country.
Under a huge pressure, Interior Minister Darmanin announced disciplinary proceedings as soon as possible, but that might be too little, too late. In the meantime, the protest is going on. A large majority in the French parliament voted in favor of the security law, but the Senate still has to approve it. Right-wing senators, a majority in the Senate, declared they will rewrite the law because it is unconstitutional. Chris Den Hont, Paris.
Religious leaders are calling for greater efforts by EU authorities to tackle the growing levels of Islamophobia and anti-Semitism across the 27-nation bloc. At a video conference organized by the European Commission, they also criticized the EU's treatment of refugees. Our correspondent Jerome Hughes has a report.
Despite the apparent demise of the Trump era, it is clear that the far-right movement in the West is still alive and well. White supremacy, racism and xenophobia are problems in every EU country.
But this is the end! It's the end! Enough's enough!
Coordinated by the European Commission Brussels, religious leaders from all of the main faiths have just taken part in a video conference.
Reports of anti-Semitic and anti-Muslim attacks are now almost part of everyday life in our beloved Europe.
The leaders say the answer is to show more unity and greater mutual respect.
I want to say that if somebody hurts a Muslim sister, a Jewish brother, they are hurting me.
The European Union's much-criticized asylum policy also came under the spotlight during the event.
Europe loses its soul if we continue to watch people drowning in the Mediterranean. That is why we support civil rescue missions.
Religious leaders insist the European Union must do more to ensure refugees play a positive and productive role in society. Experts agree.
There were mistakes in integration of the migrants, and there were mistakes in education, or lack of education, or lack of access to the educational system.
In the past, Saudi Arabia has been criticized for sponsoring terrorism in the EU. The European Commission says it is easier to brainwash vulnerable young men when they do not feel part of a community.
This sense of belonging would be the best shield against radicalization, terrorism, and hatred.
Work is continuing to try and curtail terrorist recruitment online in the EU. However, sociologists believe that is not the root cause of the security issue.
They say the source of the problem is not the internet, but the current climate within society. The focus should be on changing that, they argue. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
In the meantime, the pandemic is surging across Europe. Countries that are reporting more cases and deaths. Italy registered 26,000 infections and some 700 deaths. The country, which is the second worst nation in the continent after Britain, has posted more than 1.5 million cases and 54,000 fatalities. Now, in the UK, the number of infections rose by 16,000, while the deaths increased by 500. Turkey has also registered more than 30,000 cases and a record number of 182 fatalities. In Greece, the number of daily infections rose by more than 1,700 and the deaths by a record number of 121. UK police have clashed with protesters rallying against the government's coronavirus restrictions in London. Police said that they arrested scores of people as they tried to break up anti-lockdown and anti-vaccine rallies. The arrests were made for various offenses, including assaulting a police officer, possession of drugs, and the breaching COVID-19 restrictions. Police also lined up in a number of streets in London's West End shopping district and confronted crowds of ralliers in St. James Park near Westminster. The anti-lockdown demonstrators were joined by groups who oppose a COVID-19 vaccine. At least three people have died and several others have gone missing in flash floods that have swept through the Italian island of Sardinia. The town of Bitti is the worst part of the island. Streets have turned into rivers of mud, which covered cars and flooded cellars. Strong winds and rain have battered the island since Friday, cutting up power and forcing residents to evacuate. Officials have warned of flooding in other parts of the island, with further rains expected on Sunday. In 2013, heavy flooding caused by Cyclone Cleopatra killed 18 people in Sardinia. Six explosions are reported in the Eritrean capital, Asmara, with the cause and exact location of the blasts remaining unclear. The U.S. Embassy there has confirmed the explosions. Some diplomatic sources have been quoted as saying that rockets were launched from neighboring Ethiopia's Tigray region, where rebels fighting the central government consider Eritrea an arch enemy. The Tigray People's Liberation Front previously fired rockets at Eritrea. They've been fighting the government forces since November the 4th. On Saturday, Ethiopian Prime Minister said that military operations in Tigray are complete, this after troops took control of the regional capital, Mekelle. Tigray fighters confirmed their withdrawal from the city. They've called on the international community to condemn what they are describing as the government's massacre in that region. And that brings us to the end of this news broadcast.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. all produced by IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this cool, pretty Sunday, November 29th, 2020. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Dear friends, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. You're listening to the Sunday program, Listeners Special. And as you may know, many of you may have the problem of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will normally receive a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. However, these days with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted, unfortunately, due to the coronavirus pandemic. We hope that this disease is controlled very soon, and then we can get back on track and send you paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Maurizio Vecchi from Italy, M. Abdulrazak from India, and João Carlos El Caputo, one of our regular listeners from Brazil. Maurizio, M. Abdulrazak, and João Carlos El Caputo, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters, which I mentioned some of the names here, including Serge Till from Luxembourg, Hemant Kumar, one of our regular listeners from India, Olmar Kvik from Sweden, who is also one of our regular listeners, Nils Lashbrook from the United States, and Sutomo Huang from Indonesia. Thanks a lot for these kind letters and emails. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds after the music. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Sweden. This email is from Olmarkovic from Sweden. Olmar is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends, it's a pleasure to observe the efforts made by IRIB English Radio to improve the audio quality of the transmission. The recent days have shown such an improvement that the listeners, with some skill and effort, by adjusting the receivers to the best bandwidth and sideband, can follow your transmissions. It is really not perfect, but the improvement is clear. I want to tell you that I listen to IRIB English Radio on the web with Iranian music and listeners special. This, of course, with perfect audio quality. The website iranseradat.ir seems to be working, but many other sites are unfortunately unusable. As always, a confirmation of my report will be welcome, and it can favorably be sent by email. From Sweden, where the fallen leaves are falling on the ground, days are often gloomy and cloudy. My kind regards to you and your colleagues. First of all, greetings to you from Iran and IRB English Radio, Olmar Kovic from Sweden, and thanks a lot for writing to us. It seems that you're satisfied with the audio quality of the transmission, and that's all we want in IRB English Radio, to provide the best quality of broadcast, signals, transmission, audio, and programs to our dear listeners around the world. May the best days in your life come very soon. Stay safe and healthy during the pandemic. And let the warm signals of IRIB English Radio fill your time at home during these gloomy days. As you said, the gloomy days of autumn and winter, and also during the lockdowns. Anyway, we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in your upcoming emails. Tell us which programs you like the best. Here we have an email from Luxembourg. This email is from Serge Till from Luxembourg. Serge says, "Dear Madam or Sir, few days ago I listened to your programs on SW frequency. I live in Colmarburg in the center of the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg. Can you please send me a classical QSL card, not an EQSL? Thank you in advance and stay in good health. Greetings from Iran and IRB English Radio to Luxembourg and to Serge Till." Serge Till from Luxembourg, it seems that you've already joined us in IRB English Radio. We're so glad that signals of IRB English Radio is heard in different parts of the world, including in Luxembourg. And regarding your request about sending classical QSL card, or paper QSL card or EQSL card, I have to mention that, as we have said during our programs, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio or any souvenirs or promotional items, including postcards, is temporarily halted due to the outbreak of coronavirus. So please be patient. But this mutual relationship between us and you in IRIB English Radio is, we hope that this relationship goes on. And don't forget to tell us your views about our programs during your upcoming emails to IRIB English Radio. Thanks a lot for writing to us, Serge Till from Luxembourg. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners, after a short break, we will be back with all emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Hemant Kumar from India. Dr. Hemant Kumar is one of our regular listeners who says, "Radio is a powerful medium for celebrating humanity in all of its diversity and constitutes a platform for democratic discourse. At the global level, radio remains the most widely consumed medium. This unique ability to reach out the widest audience means radio can shape a society's experience of diversity, stand as an arena for all voices to speak out, be represented and heard. In my opinion, radio stations should serve diverse communities, offer a wide variety of programs, viewpoints, and content, and reflect the diversity of audiences in their organizations and operations. Greetings to you from Iran, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, one of our regular listeners, and lots of gratitude for writing to us. Once again, this was another wonderful email from one of our regular listeners, Dr. Hemant Kumar, and it was really a wonderful description of radio, as you said. It's a powerful medium for celebrating humanity in all its diversity, and it also constitutes a platform for democratic discourse. Thanks a lot. It was a really nice description of radio. In your view, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, write to us very soon and tell us your views about our broadcast in IRIB English Radio. And from the United States, we have an email from Niels Lashbrook. Niels Lashbrook says, "Hello to all staff. I would love to get a paper QSL card if that is possible. Secondly, I would appreciate if you could send a broadcast schedule of some sort to me as well, so I can know when to tune in. Best regards, Niels." Niels Lashbrook from the US, hello, and thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. At your request about sending promotional items, including QSL cards or paper QSL cards or broadcast schedule, here I mentioned for several times that in our radio, we used to send our dear listeners around the world the paper QSL cards as well as souvenirs and promotional items of our radio. But unfortunately, with the outbreak of coronavirus, this tradition halted. And we hope that soon in the future, after the disease is controlled around the world, we can get back on this track and send our dear listeners paper QSL cards and promotional items. And about the broadcast schedule, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find our broadcast schedule. Anyway, Niels, write to us soon and tell us which programs you like the best in IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Stay safe and healthy. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we have an email from Indonesia. This is from Stumo Huang. Stumo Huang says, "I'm glad to inform you that I'm enjoying your interesting and informative programs regularly. The reception of Radio IRIB English service is very good here in Indonesia. Please try to send me some hard copies of QSL cards, postcards, and some radio souvenirs, etc. With very best wishes and best regards." First of all, greetings from Iran and IRIB English Radio to you in Indonesia, Stumo Huang, and thank you for writing to us. Seeing that our listeners around the world are pleased and satisfied with the quality of the programs and the signal and the audio makes us more strengthened and resolved in continue our path in IRIB English Radio. And as you said, you've requested promotional items, but as we have mentioned several times, sending any item like QSL cards, postcards, and radio souvenirs will be resumed after the COVID-19 disease is controlled. For the time being, we keep this mutual relationship going. You listen to IRIB English radio broadcast, and you can send us emails and letters, and you can tell us your views about our broadcast. You can tell us your views about the quality of our programs. And we reflect your views in Listeners Special. Anyway, many thanks for writing to us, Stumo Huang from Indonesia. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you. And I think time tells me that here we have to skip to a section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Hello there. Hello, everybody in Iran. I hope everybody's okay out there. My name is Adam Santa. I'm from Leicester in England. I am a frequent listener of IRIB. I've been tuning in on the shortwaves for about a year now and again, whenever I get time. I enjoy the show. I enjoy the content. It's a very interesting show. I enjoy hearing about the listeners from around the world. And I hope that everybody is doing well this summer. I think the content is pretty good. I particularly like the interview segments. It's quite interesting when you get people from different parts of the world there. It's quite interesting to hear their perspective on things, simply because you don't really get that on in any other format, really. It's one of the things I enjoy about shortwave radio is that you can guarantee that sooner or later you're going to pick up a station that has some kind of different perspective on things, so it's quite interesting to do that. Yeah, I would just like to say around the world, I hope you're doing well. Continue listening to IRIB because they're doing a great job. Keep in contact with them, keep the shortwaves active. I know that the shortwaves aren't exactly as busy as they used to be, so we need to keep that going. And I hope everybody is doing well.
Just heard a piece of nice Iranian music, and here we come to the end of this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio. We'll be right back.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
According to a recent poll, 73% of Americans living in or near poverty somewhat or strongly agree that the U.S. government should enact the policies and programs necessary to end U.S. hunger by ensuring that all Americans can afford and access sufficient, nutritious, culturally compatible food. Majorities of those polled said boosting the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, also known as food stamps, would help some or a lot, and that all school meals should be universal, free, and nutritious regardless of family income. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Jessica Corbett Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Amid U.S. Public Health and Employment Crises, New Survey Shows Poor Americans Agree on Policy Solutions. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. With over 262,000 Americans killed by COVID-19, millions jobless and at risk of soon losing unemployment aid, and families and friends warn against spending Thanksgiving together because of the dangers of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, new polling results revealed on Thursday, November 26, that people with low incomes agree upon a range of policy solutions to poverty and hunger in the United States of America. Conducted in November by the Colorado-based firm Cooper Smith Research on behalf of the National Anti-Hunger Direct Service and advocacy group Hunger Free America, the survey found that many people across the United States with household incomes of $50,000 or below share views about raising the minimum wage as well as expanding access to benefits of public assistance programs. According to the poll, 73% of Americans living in or near poverty somewhat or strongly agree that the U.S. government should enact the policies and programs necessary to end U.S. hunger by ensuring that all Americans can afford and access sufficient, nutritious, culturally compatible food. Majorities of those polled said boosting the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, also known as food stamps, would help some or a lot, and that all school meals should be universal, free, and nutritious, regardless of family income. Raising the federal minimum wage, currently just $7.25 an hour, was also popular among respondents. When asked to describe the three most important things that need to happen or change so that low-income Americans are able to have a better quality of life and a more secure economic outlook for the future, responses included: I need a higher minimum wage, lower health insurance costs, and more affordable housing, easy access to resources and easy application process, raise minimum wage to $20 and have free health care for everyone, having the rent not be so high, not having landlords trying to evict people, and being able to get a job. Other respondents suggested having a federal jobs guarantee, more labor unions, a universal basic income, UBI program, a solution to the climate crisis that centers renewable energy, higher taxes on wealthy people and companies, and one application for all government assistance. The poll found that majorities of low-income Americans support increasing government subsidies for home purchases and believe that it should be free to open bank accounts, cash checks, pay bills, and pay for things by smartphones or at stores without fees or fine print. While all the respondents have low incomes, they are diverse in terms of age, race, and political party, and live in rural, suburban, and urban areas. The survey results released just weeks after the divisive presidential election show that 67% of low-income Americans agree that if the U.S. government decided to spend as much as necessary, we could eliminate U.S. poverty, homelessness, and hunger. Instead of assuming we knew what people in and near poverty were going through and what policies they wanted, we asked them. We found from this new groundbreaking research that most low-income Americans face multiple barriers to getting ahead. The good news is that we also found that low-income Americans of all parties, regions, and races broadly agree upon a bold policy agenda for government to make work pay and ensure that everyone has high-quality, affordable healthcare, housing, and food. Low-income Americans are sending a clear message to elected officials in both parties, said the research firm's president, Benjamin Coppersmith. First, they demand government intervention to raise wages, to lower costs, and remove barriers to basic necessities, starting with health care. Second, they want to reform the safety net so these programs are expanded to be sufficient and redesigned with compassion and dignity for people working as hard as they can or facing significant disability or illness. The poll results come as Republican lawmakers and the Trump administration are under fire for months of delayed COVID-19 relief for Americans, despite the intense need and multiple measures passed by the Democrat-controlled U.S. Senate And as progressives are maintaining pressure on Biden to avoid appointing a corporate cabinet and instead nominate people committed to serving public good. In a statement about the survey, Representative Marisa Foch said on Thursday, November 26, that today hunger, poverty, and inequality are all on the rise across the United States of America. This new poll not only identifies the barriers low-income Americans face to getting ahead, it also shows there is broad agreement on the policy solutions that would give them a hand up during this difficult time. From raising the minimum wage and ensuring access to health care to boosting SNAP benefits, these are common sense solutions that Congress can act on now to help struggling families put food on the table, she added. Rising hunger in America is a moral and policy failure. Addressing it should never be a partisan issue.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters 7300 kHz for the Indian subcontinent and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or BAT 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Throughout the last few episodes, we have been discussing the concept of community, the ummah, and that it is the responsibility of an individual within that ummah to do certain things. And Islam, as we mentioned, is a religion that promotes community building, social development, and all these other, you know, fancy names that we may not. But in actual fact, the ummah is just that. It's just that, you know, we have kind of given terms to it. But there's no need for all of these terms in reality if we just had to realize our responsibilities towards our fellow human being, our fellow Muslim brother and sister. But as we can see that certain communities and corruption occurs wherever we are, and, you know, there are certain things that hopefully, because of this tradition we will mention from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the punishment for those corruptions that occur in society are blocked or repelled because of certain actions of other members of that society. And sometimes, as we will see from this tradition, it's not even a human being, you know, that enables this punishment to be removed, but another creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that we can actually take lessons from. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that, were it not for the praying servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that individual who does his salah, who does his compulsory prayers, who does dua and supplicates towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, basically a servant who has a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one. The young suckling children, so the infants, the babies, those who are ma'asum, who are, you know, sinless, who are just, you know, be brought into this world, as who have been given as gifts to parents by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These children, you know, they don't have any impact or influence on what is going on in society at that very moment in time. And there might be those who change community also. Right? So the future of this child, in the knowledge of those around them, you know, is unknown. And the last one is quite fascinating, that the Holy Prophet in this tradition says that, okay, those two, you know, a person who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is a child who is sinless, has no influence on what is happening in society at that moment in time. The last one is quite, you know, as I said, fascinating, is that, and the grazing animals, those animals who are grazing, eating, they actually stop. So these three groups of, or these three categories rather, they do what? Punishment would pour down on you. So if we're not for these three categories or these three groups, the servant who prays to Allah, the young sinless child, and that animal that is eating, grazing, and getting his sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the corruptions done in society, would pour down his punishment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the first group, of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, and to try and be of those who do not add to corruption, but rather reduce it, inshaAllah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
The debate.